ask that you would open our hearts to hear your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I hope y'all stick around after the service today to come to the semi-annual meeting where you'll get updated on what's going on in the church and what will be going on in the church in the weeks and months to come. But because of that, Father David asked me to try and stick to 10 to 12 minutes of a sermon, which some of you are thinking that's probably like asking them to not play We Are the Boys at Florida football games. So we'll just see how that goes. But fortunately, our passages this morning are very easy and simple. The Romans passage talks about the relationship between the Jewish people and the Christian church. And our gospel passage has a text that's been contested between Catholic and Protestant Christians for ages. So it's very simple stuff to cover in 10 minutes. But since Father David completely solved the problem of racism last week, this should be no big deal, right? But seriously, like, these are big issues. And we aren't going to solve them right now, but we can get a start. And I say that because of this. If you're going to have a start at addressing any important issue, you have to first have the right question. And Jesus, in our gospel passages, asks us the most important question that anyone could ever ask. Who do you say that Jesus is? And some of you might be thinking, okay, I see how that's important, but what does that have to do with the relationship between races or between Jews and Christians or between Catholic and Protestant followers of Jesus? How is that a starting place for these other important questions? And what I would have us consider is in Psalm 36:9, it says, "By your light, by God's light, do we see light." It's saying that through God revealing himself, that's how we understand all other things. And C.S. Lewis, he riffs on that verse when he says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else." Answering this basic question will help us see everything else more clearly. Now, this does not mean that all Christians are going to agree upon everything if we agree upon who Jesus is. But it does mean that we'll have a shared set of values that we bring to anything that we look at, and we might see those issues differently than our non-Christian brothers and sisters. And so today we're going to ask the two questions that Jesus asks. Who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And we're not going to cover everything in this passage. I'm not going to answer all the questions you have about it. But hopefully it can be an example of how when we read the Bible, when I read the Bible, I often come away and I have a bunch of questions. But me having questions does not keep me from having heard from God and having known him more. Because walking with Jesus is not about ending all of the questions that we have about God, but about us growing in trust in God. So first, who do people say that I am? Like today, people have lots of different ideas about who Jesus is. And lots of people who don't believe in him even think that Jesus is a great guy. These people are calling him prophets. They're saying he's like John the Baptist. He's like Elijah. He's like Jeremiah. These people all had something in common. They were prophets that called people, especially the political and religious leaders, away from idolatry and injustice to turn to the way of God. And this one thing they had in common was they pointed people to what is truly good. They didn't point to themselves. They didn't say, "I'm the source of good, but here's the good thing." And in that way, the response that the people had, as reported to us by the disciples, is not unlike the response that lots of people today have about Jesus, where they say he's a good moral teacher, he has good things to say, or to be more current perhaps, that Jesus could be a good life coach who can help unlock the true me. But Jesus is not the source of goodness himself. He's not the arbiter of what good is or the foundation of what good is. Lots of people would continue to say stuff like that. And if that is you this morning, then I would invite you just to read the Gospels for yourself and see how what you read about Jesus lines up with that. Because Jesus does say lots of good things that help point us to what is good, like love your neighbor as yourself. We can all get on board with that. But he also says things like, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Which, in addition to sounding confusing and kind of off-putting at first, implies that he has the power to raise people from the dead, which is not exactly the niche of life coaches. So Jesus does not fit into this category that we try to put on him of being someone that just points us to what good is. He's consistently pointing us not to just what good is, but to who he is. And so the response of the people falls short of the Jesus as we see revealed in the Gospels. But even if the disciples were like, yeah, people say you're God, people say you're Christ, then that still wouldn't have been enough. Jesus would still would have gone on to ask this second question. And we see that if in the Greek, it's like a much more explicit, where in our translation, he just says, but who do you say that I am? But if you were to like be more literalistic about how it reads in the Greek, it's kind of more like this. It's, but what about y'all? Who do y'all say that I am? He's emphatically asking us, and the question is plural, which means that even though Peter was the only one who answered, he was asking each and every disciple there. And in the same way, he asks each one of us, who do y'all say that I am? So what does Peter say? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The second half of that is just essentially saying that he's God. I want to focus in on that first thing he says. He says, you are the Christ. What does that word Christ mean? Like, I think that especially as if we're growing up as kids, we might think, oh, that's just Jesus's last name. Like, it's one of the words that we hear so often that we might forget what it actually means. And so the word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which you might say, that sounds like Messiah, and you're right, it does. It means anointed, and there's a complex history of how this word evolved. But by the time of Jesus, if we're going to boil it down to its essence, this idea of the Christ means this. The Christ is the one anointed by God to restore all things through his rightful reign. The Christ is the one anointed by God to restore all things through his rightful reign. He's to restore all things. We all in our bones feel that something is not right in the world that we live in. Though it's filled with beauty and goodness and truth and love, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And so when we say that Jesus is the Christ, what we're saying is that to make the world right, what we need is not more education. What we need is not better morals. What we need is not more equality. All those things are good things that we should want. But ultimately, those things aren't going to be the things that make everything right. They're a symptom of what can make everything right, not the solution themselves. When we say that Jesus is the Christ, we're saying that he is the one to restore all things, because the problem is not just a lack of those things. The problem is that we are alienated from God, and as a result, we experience alienation in our relationships with other people, with the created world, and even with our own very selves. And all of our best attempts to fix that won't work, because in some ways they're going to be marred by self-interest. We need someone to come and restore things, to make everything right. And so when we're saying that Jesus is the Christ, we're saying what will make things right is not our own efforts or not these other things, but us graciously receiving the rightful reign of the one anointed by God to restore all things. Now, practically, what does this look like on the concrete level in our lives? We all have days where we especially feel the brokenness of the world, where we feel that our lives themselves aren't right. And in those days, we tell ourselves a story about what will restore all things. And oftentimes, it goes like this. If only I could look a certain way, everything would be better. If only the certain person, if only the certain guy or girl could look at me in the right way, then everything would be okay. If only I had this number in my bank account, then everything would be okay. When we tell ourselves stories like this, what we're saying is those things, that fill in the blank, that is the Christ. That is the one that is going to solve everything. And those things are good. It's good to be liked by other people. It's good to not have to worry about where our next meal is going to come from or how we're going to pay rent. But that is not ultimately what we need. We do want those things, and those are important parts of life, but those alone aren't going to fix everything. And when we do look to them in those way, in that moment, what we're saying in our heart is this: Jesus, you're a good teacher, yes, but this other thing is my Christ. Jesus becomes a way of just getting to what we really want. We're making his rightful restorative reign exist to serve our own interests. And if that is like you, then you are like me. And if you are like me, then you are like Peter. Because Peter, he did say this. He did say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he meant it. And Jesus affirms him and encourages him as much and says, you are the rock. What great affirmation. But if you go on, if you read what's next, we'll see that though he did look to Jesus as the Christ, there was a part of him that said, no, the real problem is political powerlessness. What I really need to fix everything is the right politics, the right ruler to come and save my people. He was looking, part of his heart was looking to a different Christ. And when he says that, he's called a rock again, but a different kind of rock. In verse 23, in our English Bible, it's translated that you are a hindrance, which coincidentally, that doesn't say this in any of the other parallels of this account. He says, you are a hindrance, which can also be translated, you are a stumbling block. You are a rock of stumbling. So he's called a rock again, but surely Peter knew the state of Peter's heart. He knew that Peter was going to deny him, yet Jesus still, in that moment, said, he didn't say, Peter, you will be a rock once you finally get your life together. You will be a rock once you really fully, truly trust me and really mean it this time. He says, you are a rock. Because Jesus is the anointed one who restores this world through his rightful reign. And he does not reign by crushing his enemies, but being crushed on their behalf. Because Jesus does not just point to goodness, he is goodness himself. And he is the one who can make us good despite of what our current heart is and despite of how we fail to trust him. And so even as we are still learning to look to Jesus as the Christ, he can say to us, just as he says, Peter, you are a rock, he can look to us and say, you are my child. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. Right now. because he does not just point to goodness, he is goodness himself, and he in fact makes us good. And as we look to him in that way, as we live into the goodness that he prepares for us, the goodness that he is transforming us into, we can become the kinds of people who do seek justice, who do invite ourselves and others to live more righteously, but only because of the goodness that we have first received in Jesus, the one anointed by God to restore all things. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you are merciful and kind to people who have a hard time with trusting you. We ask that you would show us the ways in which we look to other things as the Christ instead of to you. And Lord, show us how gracious you are as the Christ who restores all things by being crushed for our behalf. Amen.